but on our live line is the superintendent of the largest school district in Indiana, one that has made great progress getting out of the cellar of accountability into moving forward, a D-level school system. But Dr. Farabee won't be satisfied till he can get B's and A's, even though more IPS schools scored B's and A's than ever before. But the superintendent is on our live line because they've got something big going on next Saturday down at Circle Center Mall, where you can pick the quality IPS magnet program that you want to attend. Superintendent, how you doing?
All right, we're going to plug this. Superintendent, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Good afternoon, Amos. Good How are you, sir?
Well, I'm getting ready to get on the phone company because we know we paid the bill.
I'm quite sure you have.
I know we paid the bill. So let's start with next Saturday down at Circle Center Mall. What y'all doing?
We have our showcase of school. We're really excited about the Saturday of November 22nd. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Circle Center Mall right downtown. We're so excited because this is an opportunity for us to open the doors of choice to all the families of Indianapolis. We're bringing all of IPS to you at one time, at one location. This is also an opportunity for families to learn more about all of our options and programs. And what's interesting about this event is it's all one-stop shopping for our customers. It's also an opportunity for families to do on-site registration as well. And we are working on ensuring that parking is not an issue for families, and families can also do some of their holiday shopping at the same time they're learning about our great options here in IPS.
I was going to ask, is there going to be some forgiveness on parking if people come down for an hour or two to participate in the fair, not for somebody to come downtown and park and be there all day?
Right. So we want it to be very easy for parents, very customer friendly. And it's also an opportunity for families to become familiar with some of the retailers downtown in Indianapolis. But it's accessible through public transportation. There's plenty of parking downtown. No conventions this that particular weekend.
Ah.
And so it's a great opportunity for families going into the holiday season.
Superintendent, how many different educational options programs does the district offer? How many different options will be available when people come down to this fair next Saturday at Circle Center?
And so this year we will have all of our campuses represented. And so families get an opportunity to learn about all, 60 options we have. About approximately half of those are choice options. And so you'll get an opportunity to hear about alternative ed, learn more about our magnet schools, choice options, elementary, secondary, everything. Everybody will be there. Special education will be represented. You, again, will get an opportunity to get to know IPS at all levels, at all angles. We're bringing IPS to the community, which is very different than what we've done in the past. We're just showcasing our magnet schools. We are providing information on every aspect of what we offer to students and families.
When in the introduction, I mentioned that IPS has more schools now that it were graded A and B than in a long, long time. Was I correct in that in terms of the grades that were released the other week?
Correct. And so we're really excited about the progress that's been made, Amos. It is a testament to the tireless effort of our teachers, our students. You know, we came on the show and talked about my letter to students before I came on board. And I just asked the students to come to school ready to learn every day and allow the adults to serve them appropriately. And by and large, I'm so proud that many of our students, most of our students have done that, and you can now see evidence of that. And so our progress, and the progress that we've been seeing over the last year or so is now public-facing, where others can see what's taking place in the district, and we're going to build on that. We have tremendous momentum building. It's been a long time since the district has been out of the F status in terms of accountability grades. We're not going to stop here. We're glad that we moved out of the F, but we want to make sure that we continue to strive for bigger and better. We are a district that are on the move, and I'm excited about our direction right now.
The situation with Arlington High School, where the takeover operator, Ed Power, has basically said, you know, they just want to walk away. They can't handle it anymore. The economic, not the academics of it, but the economics of it is just upside down for that entity. What is the position of the district? Are you all trying to get the state to say, let us have this back? And the fact that the system is now has left the F to the D, does that give you some leverage to get Arlington back?
Well, unfortunately, many times when I meet with the State Board of Education, the focus has been on our results in the past, so I'm continuing to try to encourage them to look at where we are now and how we're progressing, so we'll see how that unfolds. But, you know, unlike what was done in the past, we've urged the State Board of Education to consider having IPS actively engage in what happens to Arlington. We know that when the school district is not at the table, reforms typically don't fare well. And so we've asked to be at the table. We've presented some options, which would all be based upon Arlington returning to authority under IPS. We're very hopeful about that direction. I believe that we've covered some ground, and the State Board of Education is considering some alternatives that will involve IPS, you know, taking back Arlington in some form or fashion. We need to get the school back to a healthy enrollment where we can operate and educate students in that community.
There has been some talk about the status of John Marshall. What is, from the administration's point of view, what is the current status of John Marshall? What are the options the IPS is looking at?
Well, we have put on the table the option of looking at how we can maximize utilization of Arlington with the possibility of having, if not all or a portion of the John Marshall school community attend school at the Arlington facility to get us at an enrollment that's healthy and we can operate. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I think what's exciting about John Marshall right now, that was one of our schools that have been struggling. We saw double-digit gains in Algebra 1 there. You know, and 10 points plus is pretty significant for end-of-course results. And we saw some gains in English as well, which was the other area that was assessed. And so I'm excited about the direction of John Marshall. And what's fascinating right now about John Marshall is we have forged some partnerships that we are very positive about right now in terms of having a community put its arms around John Marshall.
This situation that suddenly flared up, you all may not think it suddenly flared up, but to the community it suddenly flared up, the situation where it sounds like this is a three-way NBA trade. Gamble to Shortridge to Tech, and then Broad Ripple thrown in and a player to be named later. Why are we doing this now when it was proposed that the Gamble program move to Shortridge about a year and a half ago? It evoked a firestorm of protest, and the interim superintendent and the board backed away from it. And it just looked, in looking at the PowerPoint presentation that you made to the board last night, it looked like that we're moving 160 kids one way and then taking almost 800 to 900 kids and moving them to Tech. And I don't see what the reason is just because some parents on the north side can have their kids go to a quality high school and spend 5 minutes on the bus and everybody else has to spend 40 to 50 minutes on a bus. Can you walk the community through why all this moving around and people having to be on a bus longer is beneficial?
So, and it's, you know, one of the things I think we need to make a distinction on is what's being presented now is very different than what was discussed previously. The process in which we got to the recommendations are also very different. So we've been talking about international baccalaureate programs here in IPS for some time, and we weren't able to get to a solution prior to my arrival, and I wanted to make sure that I spent a lot of time getting input, which I've done, and just ensure that we are moving in the right direction with IB in the district. I firmly believe in IB. I was an IB principal. I know the benefits of the rigor and how it can assist students not only with gaining college credit in high school, but also preparing them for the critical thinking skills that they'll need for college in the workforce. What we are simply proposing is that that particular program be offered at Shortridge instead of Gamble. What's different about this proposal is the students at Shortridge have assured seats if they're interested in participating in the IB program. And so those students that are there now have an option to stay there if they like. And so I don't want this to be confused that, you know, if someone is a junior or a rising senior and they want to enjoy the rigors of the IB program, that'll be available to them, and they can continue their studies at Shortridge. So I think that's a critical distinction that we need to make at this time. And the other changes, you know, we did a lot of input gathering. We need to continue to be more efficient with our operations. We need to ensure that we have attractive options for families. And quite honestly, Amos, we just have too many buildings at the high school level that are underutilized. And we're going to have to continue to rethink high school and IPS. In addition to the utilization, that's where we lose the most of our enrollment. And so between kindergarten and ninth grade, we lose about half of our students that enter the district in kindergarten and then those that are with us in the ninth grade year. And you see a dramatic dip from eighth grade to ninth grade. And we've gotten a lot of input that families just aren't pleased with our high school options. So we got to do something different.
Is there a reason why, knowing that you might have to do something different, instead of trying to do this piecemeal, you know, go to another Blue Ribbon committee, figure out a solution, then announce a total solution for the district all at one time?
Well, I think that there are lots of dominoes to fall, and the complexities of how do you ensure that all the transitions occur where students can be successful and we can also successfully transition staff? I don't know that that could be accomplished in one swoop, and we just don't have the time. At this point, we need to move on specific areas where we know that we've had challenges, and IB is one of them. But we'll continue to bolster all of our magnet programs, ensure that they're high interest. And, you know, one of the things that I share with the board coming in is, you know, I want and we must have a flagship high school. And we'll continue to work to that end. And what's interesting about a high school, that, you know, we could put all of our high school students in one facility right now at Arsenal Tech. Mm-hmm. But we just don't offer that, you know, mega high school that you see in some of the surrounding school corporations where you got, you know, 3,000-plus students on one campus. And we may get there one day, but we believe we can bring back some of the high school students that we've lost over the years through enhancing the options that we offer.
Speaking of loss, we're in the process of gathering data on this current school year of enrollment by race and ethnicity for an annual story that we do that'll probably be sometime after Thanksgiving. Trying to get all this information, particularly from the charters, is a little difficult. The numbers that we got from you, Superintendent Farabee, quite frankly, were stunning. Were very surprising. It's showing just in African American students alone, a decline of 8%. That's more than 1,300 African American students less this school year than last school year, lowest number ever. Did you all have any indication of that kind of erosion of African American students? And are you confident? I'm sure you have looked at the paperwork and you've talked to your staff in IT and student assignment. Are you confident that these numbers are accurate?
So we also have to keep in mind you study the numbers, Amos. You know, our African-American population is one of our largest groups. Mm-hmm. And you also have to keep in mind, from my vantage point, you know, our numbers have been relatively flat from the previous year. I think a lot of people don't realize that we were heavily into the adult education arena prior to the school year, and all of those adult education students were in our student enrollment count. And so given the fact that we are not providing services for adult education, that did have an impact on...
I understand that, but the numbers I'm looking at, these are your K-12, and I'm comparing it to previous, the report that I received last year from IPS, which also measured K-12. So this does not include any day adult high school students. This does not include the pre-K. This is just straight up K-12, and that is a sharp drop when you're absolutely right. The enrollment had been stable. In fact, African-American enrollment had creeped up a little bit, and we looked like the district was stabilizing.
So, yeah, I unfortunately can't see those numbers that you're looking at in front of me right now. The only thing that I can think of is, you know, we also had a number of charters to open in the IPS boundary recently. KIPP is expanded, and we have the lease with them. We also have had Crystal House expand as well. You know, our graduation office is continuing to work with dropout recovery to ensure that we bring students back. But, again, keep in mind, our African-American population is our largest percent of students.
A couple of other issues. The prior administration, before you became our superintendent, had a policy that if an individual was found on IPS property with a deadly weapon, the news media would receive an email, and usually that resulted in somebody was caught with a weapon in IPS property, they were arrested. Evidently that now is not the policy in terms of notifying the general public, and there was some concern with an incident at John Marshall High School where someone was arrested with a weapon where the parents of students at John Marshall were not notified. What is the current policy in IPS on individuals caught on school property with deadly weapons in terms of notifying parents, A, the general community, B?
Yeah, so, Amos, we talked about this one in great detail. There is no state statute or local policy in writing that states that that particular information is given to local media. We've been operating just like every other school corporation here, and we intend to continue to operate without violating any local or state policy. So we're in line with the letter of the law.
Should the law be changed? Should the public have the right to know if somebody is arrested on school property with a deadly weapon? Shouldn't not only the parents know that, shouldn't the public know that? I mean, for all schools?
We focus on the safety of our students at all of our sites and ensure that the students and parents are aware of their safety concerns and how we're addressing them. And so I believe that we've been very open with communicating with our students and families about safety on our campuses. IPS is covered in the media in Indianapolis more than any other school corporation, so we get our fair share of information in the media. I don't think anybody's lacking in getting information about IPS right now.
We're Superintendent Dr. Lewis Farabee, the Superintendent of IPS. Now, Superintendent, we both wear manager's hats in our institution, which means we have a cue card in our desk that says we do not comment on specific personnel matters. That being said, the incident that occurred at John Marshall earlier a couple of months ago, where a non-employee was involved in an incident in a student discipline incident, did that violate an IPS policy?
So, Amos, because that particular situation involved personnel and also a student discipline matter, I just can't go into detail on the radio on that right now.
Okay. Was there an investigation? Is an investigation still ongoing?
We've completed our investigation on the matter in which you're referencing.
Okay, but because it does involve IPS personnel as well as a student, You all know it. The board knows it, but that's the extent of it in terms of anyone else knowing it because it does fall under personnel?
Yeah, I have no further comment on that.
Okay. Well, you know, I had to ask now.
I understand.
But there is there a policy that governs when a non-employee can intervene? Because obviously, if there was a tragedy at a school and people would start rushing toward the tragedy to rescue people, you're not going to matter whether they're a staff or not. You'd want people to go rescue.
Repeat the question again, sir.
If there was a tragedy at a school and people from the outside saw the tragedy and they're rushing in trying to save people, in other words, rushing toward the danger to save people's lives, you're not going to matter whether they're an employee or a non-employee. They're there trying to help folks. Shouldn't there be a policy that covers when a non-employee can intervene and when a non-employee can't?
So there is no existing policy addressing this specific matter.
Mm-hmm.
But we have worked with our school administrators to ensure that they're handling those types of situations appropriately.
In terms of the first of the year, you have three board members leaving. The voters have chosen three new board members to come on. Have you met with any of the commissioners-elect? Will you be meeting with them in terms of an orientation?
I have not met with any of the recently elected school board commissioners. Amos, as you know, we have a lot to do, and there's a lot work to be done over the next couple weeks and months. And so I focus on the work that needs to be done right now. And it's been an honor and pleasure to work with our current board and commissioners. This is the group that hired me, and my experience with this board has been one that's been very rewarding, and I look forward to continuing to work and building on the momentum that we've been able to achieve over the last couple months.
One final thing, tracking back to your proposal on Gamble to Shortridge to Tech, to part of Broad Ripple to Tech. Last night, three board members expressed strong concern about the proposal. A fourth board member left early. A fifth board member was not there. Two board members expressed support. Do you have the four votes necessary to get this approved next week?
Oh, well, we'll know that next week, won't we?
I don't know. Maybe you had an idea now.
Yeah, those decisions are made at our action sessions, and you know, I respect the governance process that we have in terms of taking board action, and so we'll see what happens next week.
And I realize you have this fair next Saturday, which seems to be driving it, but it seems to me this is a decision that ought to have longer than 7 days for the community to be able to express themselves rather than, you know, having a long meeting next week where, you know, 400 to 500 people may try to express themselves in 2 minute increments.
Now, Amos, you know, last year I spent a lot of time in the community listening.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that we're discussing now with Maddening and Choice was discussed at every town hall meeting that I had. We had one in every sector of our community in Indianapolis. It was on our Twitter chat. It was at several of our conversations with students and staff members. We also had a forum last year where we invited families across the district to discuss the future of IB in Indianapolis. And when I entered the district, we had a task force specifically working on the best solution. We've reported those comments and input on numerous occasions. We've also had external audits, and we've presented those results. We've done a lot of due diligence. So I know that some are saying that this is new information, but this information has been out there for a while. It's now time for us to make a decision.
Superintendent Dr. Lewis Ferriby, superintendent of IPS, moving forward, more A and B schools than ever before, off the F list, on to the D list, which means they will be moving forward. You know, you go from D, go to C, and you just got to aim higher. And they're having a magnet fair that is coming up next Saturday, the 22nd, down at Circle Center Mall. From when to when, superintendent?
Again, that's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll continue to push that information out to students and families. I know you will as well. Mm-hmm. We want every family in Indianapolis to come learn about what we offer here in IPS, general education, magnet programs, special education, alternative education, the gamut. We want to ensure that it's one-stop shopping for our students and families. We don't want families in our community not to know about what we offer. And so too many times I talk with families and say, hey, I didn't know we offered Spanish immersion in IPS. I didn't know we had an opportunity to attend evening school in IPS instead of the traditional school day. So we want to make sure that our families know all about what we offer. And again, all IPS, one day, one time, come learn. And also an opportunity to support the retailers while they're there in the mall.
All righty, Dr. Lewis Farabee, Superintendent of IPS, thanks very much for being with us.